There we go. Book of Hebrews, Aaron, chapter 5. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this gorgeous day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have fellowship together, Lord, in our precious and blessed hope, and in our mutual faith, Lord, that we can be edified together and comforted together. Lord, we thank you for the hope that only you can give us, that even when the people that we love depart this earth, Lord, we know, Father, that the separation for us is temporary, and that the joy for them is full. And Lord, only you can give us that assurance and that peace that passes understanding. And Father, we thank you so much for that. And we pray, Lord, as we look into your word again, that you would be our teacher here, as you always do. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, Hebrews and chapter 5. We are talking, continuing to read about the priesthood, the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the issue of the order of the Lord's priesthood is raised here, brought up here in Hebrews chapter 5. And the Lord is a priest, not after the order of Aaron, as were the priests under the law, but verse 6 says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the writer is going to go on and to explain something of what that means. And we got down through verse 10 last time, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we're going to get into some particulars about what that means and about the doctrine behind that verse there in the 110th Psalm that the writer brings out here. Melchizedek, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So now here again, you know, as we're going through this book of Hebrews, we see this repeating pattern of this kind of hunk of doctrine is introduced, and it's brought out and it's fleshed out a little bit, and then the writer goes off into this admonition to these Hebrew believers not to fall away and to depart from the doctrine. It's as if the writer doesn't have the full confidence in the maturity of these people, and I think for good reason. And this passage here brings that out. We again get introduced to the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, but before he can go into the details and the particulars of that, he has to come back again and remind these folks that they're still lacking something. There's something missing. He says, Melchizedek, again in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. So these Hebrew believers, they've got a need. That is, they have a lack. There's something missing. that ought not to be. The verse says, there, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. So having needs is okay, but there are needs that certain Christians ought not have. And these people, the issue for these folks here, again in verse 10, when for the time you ought to be teachers. And there is, you know, there is a rule and an understanding that we're given in the Scripture towards one another and how we relate to one another, how we interact with one another. That there are different levels of maturity in the body of Christ. And there will always be, hopefully, because hopefully the mature ones are out there bringing in babies, right? So if the plan is working and Christians are doing what they ought to be doing, then there will always be this this variation in the maturity of the saints. So there's always going to be babes who need what the passage says here, milk. They need to be fed with milk. And different people grow and develop and mature at different rates. Everybody's not the same. Everyone's not identical. But the passage here says that there is a time. There is a time when to linger behind in that infancy phase is not what you ought to be doing. And there's a time when if we still have the need, the lack that we had when we were infants, we're doing something that we ought not be doing, and we're not doing something that we ought to be doing. So there is, you can't be 30 years in the Lord and still, you know, not able to handle meat and say, well, everybody grows at their own pace. I mean, there's a time. Now, I'm not telling you that time is 30 years. It's a lot shorter than that. But I'm not gonna put a time on you. That's not for me to do. But there is a time. So the writer says, this Melchizedek, we have many things to say. Come back to, put something here. We're going to be back and forth. John chapter 16. Take a look at that. Gospel of John chapter 16. The Lord is telling His disciples about the coming Comforter here. And the Lord, of course, understood this issue of maturing and of not assuming that people are, number one, where you are, or that they are able to take in everything perhaps that you know. You know, as a teacher, that passage says, the time you ought to be teachers. And we're all teachers. You know, Paul, when he talks about the offices that God has given in terms of the gifts and those things, he says he's given some apostles and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In 1 Corinthians 12, there he says, are all apostles? Are all teachers? And the answer there is obviously no. In the office, everyone doesn't hold that office. But Hebrews there says, talking to the whole congregation, it's time that you all ought to be teachers. So there's a sense in which we all come to be that at some point in our Christian life. But as a teacher, for yourself, I know for me, I've been teaching for, 25 years or so, there's always that balance of trying to not to stuff a steak down a baby's mouth and not to leave the mature saints dissatisfied with pabulum. And in your own life, and in your own experience, it's easier if you're dealing with one person at a time, because you can evaluate that person when you have a level of spiritual maturity. You can discern in the other person that you're talking to where they are. And having done that, you know what they need, what they can bear, and what they can't bear. And you don't want to give somebody, you don't want to give, you know, someone off the street, you don't want to start telling them about, you know, about the mystery and heavenly places, and we're going to reign out in the universe and all of that kind of stuff. All of that'll come. You can tell them about heaven and it's going to be wonderful and all of that, but you know, look at this passage here, John chapter 16. Verse 7, nevertheless, John 16:7. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, the Lord says. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. The writer of Hebrews there says, Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. The Lord says, I have yet many things to say to you. Now, take a look back in chapter 15. And verse 15, and you want to see this, John chapter 15, verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now he says that before he says, I have yet many things to say to you, and you're not able to bear them now. So the Father is only giving the Lord so much to say to these people at a time. Now, in the Scripture, God deals with the world that way. We call it progressive revelation. He didn't give it all in the beginning. He gave bits of information and easy to digest. And then as he went along, he built and brought the world, as it were, to maturity in the Pauline epistles, and revealed everything, revealed his mind to the world. But he didn't do it all at once. And that's what the Father is doing here with Christ. The Lord is only speaking what the Father is giving him to speak. So he says, I've told you everything that the Father has given me to tell you, but I have yet many things to say to you. And you see what he says there again in chapter 16? But you are not able to bear them now. You know, there is a strength that's required along with maturity. When you're a babe, I've got a little couple month old grandson at home, and he can't do much. He lays there and, you know, he can't even control his arms yet. They're just hitting himself in the face. It's kind of comical, to tell you the truth. But you know, you grow out of that, and you begin to learn how to control the faculties that the Lord is giving you. And if I were to, you know, his father, my son-in-law, we were moving some stuff in the garage the other day, and he's a, you know, big strapping young man, and I'm a big old guy, and so we were able to do that. But I couldn't take the one-year-old out there with me and say, here, grab an end of this. That's just not, he's not able to bear it. And In that, in my experience, lies the secret and the answer to that lagging behind, as those Hebrews are doing. Because, you know, we all like to get good, exciting new truth. That's always good. You know, tell me something I haven't heard before. You know, titillate my mind with some exciting new truth. We all love that. But it's the responsibility that comes with that truth that makes us go, you know what? I think I'm just going to hang back here for a while. So, when the time you ought to be teachers, see, not for the when the time that you ought to know these things, but the time that you ought to be using that knowledge and having it work in your life. The Lord says, I've got a lot to say to you still, but you're not able to bear it now. When the Spirit of truth has come, He's gonna tell you all those things. You'll have that indwelling Holy Spirit. You'll have matured to the point that that He can give you things like the Book of Revelation and stuff that just blows your mind. But He says, for right now, I've given you everything that the Father has given me to give you. And what you need to do, chapter 15 and 16 there, it's all about bearing fruit. Take what you've got so far and walk in the light of it. Take a look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. Very similar context here in chapters 2 and 3. And he's talking about the wisdom of men and the overemphasis, or the emphasis at all, that these Corinthians were putting on that. And they were looking at Paul and Apollos and these teachers as philosophers. And they were saying, well, I'm a follower of Paul, and this one says, I'm a follower of Apollos, and, you know, as if we might say, you know, well, I adhere to the Jungian psychology, well, I adhere to the Freudian psychology, and, you know, who are all of these people? And that's what Paul says. He says, who am I, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So they're looking at these men instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, chapter 2, verse 12, after he tells them back up in verse 7 that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which was ordained before the world unto our glory, he says in verse 12, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now Hebrews says that strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in this context, in 1 Corinthians, good and evil is the wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God. And when you hear something, he says to these Corinthians, you ought to be able to know how to tell the difference. And once you've told the difference, how to prefer and choose that which is excellent, and discard the fleshly and hold the spiritual. So it's spiritually discerned, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And that word judge there again is that word discern. Now, let me ask you this morning, and I think I've asked you this before, is there anyone here that's spiritual? You don't like to say, yeah, that's me, I'm spiritual. But I'll tell you what, you know, there's a definition here for that. Verse chapter 3, finish verse 16 first. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that is in the Word, which is the context. We speak the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, and by the Holy Ghost, who teaches us that Word. In those two ways, we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So you see there in the passage how that spiritual equals mature, and carnal equals immature. So, if you're several years old in the Lord, and you can't answer yes to the question, are you spiritual? Then you might want to take a look. And like Hebrews chapter 4 said, the Word of God will show that to you, will open you up, and will reveal that to you, and then you take that and you take that to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I'm lagging behind a little bit here. And he'll reveal that to you. Paul says he will. In Philippians, which we'll go to, but I don't want to leave here yet. Chapter 3 again. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. So there's that again. For hitherto you were not able to what? Bear it. Neither yet now are you able. See, so with truth and with growing in Christ and growing in your knowledge, there comes something to bear. That means that your strength must increase along with your knowledge. Paul says, knowledge puffeth up. You know what that is? Puffed up like a it means pride, but the verbiage there, it's like a balloon. You can blow up a balloon and the thing looks huge. You blow up a man and he's enormous, he's a giant. But you put a little weight on him, you can't bear it. So knowledge by itself doesn't work. There needs to come a solidifying and an establishing and a strengthening. Now what that means and what that takes, come now if you would to Philippians in chapter 3, is walking in the light that we have. And that is apparently what these Hebrew believers are not doing. And that's why the writer has to continually stop. Every time you get a little bit of doctrine, you have to stop and say, okay, guys, now don't do this with the doctrine, but you got to do this with the doctrine. You see? He's trying to treat them like the mature saints that they ought to be on the one hand, but he understands on the other hand that there's only so much yet that these folks can bear, unfortunately. It's always, you know, When you got a group of people that you just take from, you know, from the ground up, that's nice. Everybody's kind of at the same level and you can just teach. But you don't normally have that. And I say this to you for, you know, anyone who may end up teaching more than one person at a time. It's hard. I'm often admonished that I you know what I hear a lot? I hear you're going over people's heads. That's what I hear a lot. And what that turns out to be is that there is, you know, you have to lay out the full setting. You have to lay out the whole smorgasbord for everybody, and you put out the milk, and you put out the meat, and you know the stuff. If something goes over your head, that's okay. Don't get mad about that. I didn't understand that. Well, that's all right. You'll grow into it. Chances are someone understood it. So you've got to kind of you have to think about everybody. But the Lord has in that kind of a situation, He's got a kind of a built-in mechanism where that people are only going to receive what they can receive if you're not trying to jam it down their throats. I just give you that for free out of my own experience. Don't be afraid to feed the adults. The children won't choke if you're not causing them to, okay? Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about this issue of growing in Christ and people being at different levels and things. And he says, verse 13, chapter 3, 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul is consciously growing in the Lord. And he's moving. He's trying to apprehend that for which he is also apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, "The Lord is moving me toward an end, higher and higher, and I'm moving in that same direction with Him." Now what that means, he explains to you as you go, verse 15, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect..." Now Hebrews is going to use that word perfect there in chapter 6. We didn't read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but Paul says, "We speak wisdom among them that are perfect." And then he goes into that passage that we read. "So let us therefore as many as be perfect..." Now he just told you, "I have not apprehended, I have not attained," and yet now he calls himself perfect. So again, are you spiritual? That doesn't mean are you sinless. Are you perfect? Doesn't mean you're flawless. It's the same idea. Mature. Not a baby, but an adult. "Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded." So, in other words, I'm mature. So what's the mind that I'm supposed to have? Well, I'm here. I've attained. I've reached it. I don't need to grow anymore. I'm mature. I used to be a baby. Now I'm not a baby. Paul says, no. You're perfect. Be minded like me, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I have not attained. Yes, I'm mature, but I've got a long way to go. You know who thinks that they don't have any further to go? An immature person. You know when I thought that? When I was about 16, I figured I knew everything. I didn't have, there was no more for me to learn. I know anybody who's older than me at this point is just dumb. I mean, I'm gonna, you know, I've plateaued. This is it. I know more than the people behind me, and I know more than the people out ahead of me over here. So that idea of, you know, I've attained and I don't need to grow anymore, well, that's evidence of immaturity, isn't it? The more you know, the more you know that you don't know, right? We all know that. So he says, "Let as many of us as be perfect be thus minded, that we're continuing to grow. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." And that's what we were just talking about. The Lord will show that to you. Take it to him. And let him reveal to you what that need. For those Hebrews, time that you ought to be teachers, you had need that one teach you again. Well, you find yourself in that position. Listen, I'm you know, been in the Lord a long time, and I don't know nearly what I ought to know. Well, what you ought to know is a subjective thing. It's between you and the Lord. You get in the Word and you figure out what you ought to know, and let the Lord tell you that. But if you're in that position, start from there, and take this mind of the Apostle Paul and follow him as he presses toward the mark. Start growing. Start learning. Now, again, what does that mean? I'm just going to take in a bunch of knowledge? Well, verse 16, he says, nevertheless, so you that are perfect, and you that aren't, I'll add, be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, wherever you are, Paul says, I have not attained, but whereto you have attained, the level that you are, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, walk at the level that the Lord has brought you. Walk in light of the light that you've got. Don't know a bunch of stuff and not have it be strengthening and establishing and settling you and causing you to be able to bear, not just to know more and more, but to bear more and more. Whereto you have already attained, walk by that same rule. You know, we look at each other and we've got, shortcomings and different things, and you say, boy, that saint is still doing this, that, or the other thing. Well, you know, again, we're all at different levels. And Paul says, if you see someone like that, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. So my job is not to beat someone over the head for not being where I think they ought to be. Paul says we don't have dominion over your faith. We're helpers of your joy. But my job towards myself is to continually ask, where am I headed? Have I stagnated? Have I drifted back? Paul says, or Hebrews rather, there says, that you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, they knew it at one point. They had it. See, in this maturity process, you don't stagnate. You don't stop. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You don't stay in one spot. Don't think you can. You can't. If you stop growing, you start sliding backwards. That's just the way it's going to be. So, the mindset of a growing believer, of someone who's coming through that milk stage and getting into the strong meat, and then someone who's already there and just feasting on the steak of the Lord, is to be pressing forward. And pressing forward means walking in the light that you have. So when you get that exciting new truth, the question ought to be, how is this going to affect my life? What changes in me now that I have this thing that I've never heard before? How does that change me and move me along this path toward that prize. Truth isn't there for truth's sake. Truth is there to strengthen us so that we can bear the responsibility of it and the glory of it. Back in Hebrews chapter 5, Romans, Paul tells us there in 15, 14 and 15, pastor's been teaching, you that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. The Hebrews here, they're told that when the time you ought to be teachers, well, that's a responsibility. That's not if any man desire the office of a bishop. That's one thing. This is talking about all of these Hebrew saints, and by extension, I'll apply it to all you and me. We're all teachers as we grow in knowledge. Now, that's a responsibility that comes along with the knowledge that we have. So when for the time, again, verse 12, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's two things there. There's time, when the time you ought to be teachers, and those that are full age, so there's time. It takes time. If you're a young believer and you're not along yet where you would like to be, and it's causing you anxiety and so forth, don't let it do that. Listen. There's time involved. The Lord's working from eternity. Okay? He's not in a hurry. Now, he doesn't want us lagging behind and being slothful, but he's not in a hurry. Paul said there that whereto you have already attained, walk by the same rule. Mind the same thing. And the Lord will bring you along if you do that. If you don't walk in the light that you have, then further light becomes less and less and less productive and less and less and less discernible to you. So, if you want to grow, take it from where you are. Walk in that and let God give the increase. So, there's time. And then there's use. Full age, who by reason of use. So these guys, they had the time in, but they didn't have the use. They didn't have the exercise. They didn't do the exercise of their senses to discern both good and evil. In other words, they took in the light, but they didn't walk in the light that they had, and they began to slide back. Now, come all the way back with me to Isaiah chapter 28. It's a passage we all know. Let's take a look at this. Isaiah 28. Boy, we're going to have to turn the air on in here. Am I the only one that's warm? Isaiah 28. And I don't have a jacket. Isaiah chapter 28. You know, when the writer says there, you've become dull of hearing. These are believers. As a believer, you don't want to become dull of hearing. You know who's dull of hearing. You know where you see that phrase in Matthew chapter 13 there, where the Lord is telling those crowds there that didn't really care much one way or another, just coming out of curiosity, start speaking to them in parables. And the disciples said, why are you speaking to them in parables? And he said, because it's not given to them to know. Well, why isn't it given to them to know? Well, because they don't want it. They came out of curiosity. I'll come and I'll listen, and I'll go away. James says, you come and you hear the word. It's like looking into a mirror. You walk away, you forget. That's not how we grow. And he says that, he quotes Isaiah, not here, but another place in chapter 40, I think it is. He says their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed. Now he's talking about that nation that's about to fall, to have that spirit of slumber come upon them, that unbelieving nation that's about to be broken off of the olive tree there. That's those people who are dull of hearing. These guys in Hebrews, they're the other ones. They're the other nation that's supposed to be provoking this nation to jealousy and the one that the Lord is vesting the kingdom in. So when the writer tells them there, you have become dull of hearing, that's not a good thing at all. Isaiah 28, talking about that same generation, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So who's going to advance? People who advance are going to advance. The Lord said, to he who has will be given. To he who has not will be taken away, even that he has. So whether you have or not, so the Lord can give you more, is up to you. What are you doing with what he's given you? And then he'll give you more. So who's he going to teach knowledge? Who's he going to make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, those people who are growing, are going to get more. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. You know, Paul quotes that verse in 1 Corinthians 14 when he's talking about tongues. But before he quotes it, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. In malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be spiritual. Be perfect. Be of full age. So he's thinking about this passage. Then he quotes, with men of other tongues and other lips, I'll speak to this people. Don't be those that are still in need of milk if it's time to be cutting into some, to be cutting your teeth on some heavier stuff. And again, heavy requires us to bear. Look in, get 1 Timothy with me. I gotta quit. First Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells Timothy this something very similar here. See, you wonder why that book of Hebrews just continually, does that. Just keeps going back and kind of treating these people like they're immature. And the reason is because they were. And the writer is trying to bring them along. It's like Paul telling the Galatians, I travail in birth again with you until Christ be formed in you. The time, those Galatians had the same problem. The time came when they ought to have been here and they were fallen back. Why desire you again the weak and beggarly element? So the writer there in Hebrews is trying to pull these people along without pulling their arms off because they can't bear it. So there's that balancing act. I'm going to feed you, and then I'm going to exhort you in what to do with. Okay, here, take this, chew up and down. Now, lift your tongue up and swallow. Teach them how to eat, so that there can come a time when they don't need to be fed. They're still going to be fed. They're still going to enjoy each other's fellowship and teach one another, but they don't need to be fed. They can feed themselves, and they can start feeding other people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, talking about meats and marriage and the last days and doctrines of devils and all of that. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Well, that's Philippians 3 again, isn't it? That doctrine whereto you have attained, that's good. You've gotten that far in your knowledge. Now be nourished up in it. Now be built up in it. Now let it affect your life. Live in that light. Be nourished up in the doctrine to which you have attained. All right, so we will leave it there at the end of Hebrews chapter 5. Next week we will leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on to perfection, right? Do you have a question, comment?
Yes,
yes sir.
People, for some odd reason, they can't extricate themselves from the past doctrine.
Yes.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
They can't do it.
And that absolutely applies to what we're talking about here. It's not just in my Christian life, but it's in my dispensational understanding, and that's what the writer is going to go on to talk about here. And you're absolutely right. That's when the Lord said their ears are dull of hearing. That's what he was talking about. They had the old stuff.
Right.
They didn't want to grow into what God was doing dispensationally. Yeah, absolutely.
They don't want to grow. You've got to endure to the end. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah.
But they can't see it.
Yeah.
Why they can't see that, I don't know.
It is frustrating, but knowing this, the things we've looked at today and the things that we know, it helps. It helps to understand and to be able to discern where somebody is, to know how to talk to them and what I can give them and what I'm just going to have to be content to hold back on because they can't bear it yet.
They cannot bear it. So you got to sometimes pull the reins in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you want to tell them all kind of stuff. Yeah.
If you don't pull the reins in, you bring a wedge between yourself and your brother.
Well said.
You don't want to do that. You want to bring your brother closer to you.
Yeah.
A unity in Christ.
And that is part of bearing their infirmity.
Right.
That you've got so much that you want them to know. But you got to hold yourself back. You have to bear their infirmity for their sake.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say that the Hebrew was the nation that God was using to make the Israelites jealous?
Yes, that new nation, the little flock, Peter and those guys, were the nation, that foolish nation, with which God was provoking Israel to jealousy. Yeah, well, that's the idea that's, you know, that's kind of more common. But when you see the Lord saying, he tells those Pharisees and those scribes there, and he says, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And then he tells that little flock, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, the little flock is that nation that the Lord told the scribes and Pharisees, the kingdom's going to be taken from you and given to another nation. Well, that other nation is Peter and those guys. It's that remnant that comes out of the nation of Israel. So in Acts chapter 2 there, when Peter starts preaching to all of those people, he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Come out of that apostate nation and join the little flock. And that is, it was by them that Israel was provoked to jealousy, that foolish nation. Unlearned and ignorant people, they called them.
Yeah. That reminds me of, you know, when how to obey, and they were being disobedient, and they were constantly being put into a slavery by the Philistines, and there was always a remnant. That's the tidbit of revelation in the Old Testament about the remnant of the Israelite nation, when they were finally taken over by the Chaldeans, and there was that small remnant that was left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always, Paul says, you know, the Lord told Elijah, I've reserved to myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee, and even to this day, there remains a remnant. Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's Joshua and Caleb against the other 10.
And even with David, he had that remnant of followers with him, and the rest that wanted to go with Saul.
Right. It's always a small group, always outside the camp. Always it's almost as if it's that same remnant. You're just following them through Scripture.
You know, it's good that you explained it, because the way you explained that is in keeping the word right in the Bible. See, Christ is talking about another nation of Jews.
Yeah.
And see, when you don't write, see you're keeping that. See, Christ's ministry was to the Jews. Everything he said was to them.
Yeah. No, he wasn't saying, I'm going to give this to the Gentiles. No.
Right. Right. When you don't keep that word right in the Bible like that, then you go into other doctrines, you go into false doctrines like this replacement theology. God's done away with his people. Now you give everything to Gentiles. See, that's when you get away from that discipline of keeping the word.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Where it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spirit, let him acknowledge the things that I write on.
There you go.
Are the commandments of the Lord.
Yep.
That's what he says.
Acknowledge Paul. And his epistles, if you're mature.
See it.
Yeah.
They can't, blind.
Yeah. And my 4-month-old grandson can't eat steak either. You know, it's frustrating because it's so good, and I would like for him to have some, but he just can't.
He does not know
the answer. And like you said, they can't see it. But then you have the confounding. You know, they're confounded because they've been indoctrinated by those words in their church. And while they have those questions, like when I was in the Baptist church, I had all these questions, but because I was not with a great teacher, he could only go back, or she could only go back and tell me what they knew to understand in that particular doctrine. So when we walked away, when we came here with those very same questions unanswered, we became babes in Christ again, even though we were spiritually minded to study the word. And so now I find myself revisiting every single thing that I have ever learned as a Baptist.
Yeah.
Because some of them are like, okay, that makes sense. But then when you put the doctrines together in the right dispensation, but they have to want to do that. And most of them want to, but because they keep getting the same stuff poured into them, like you said, it's shoving it into their mouth.
Yeah.
And they're going, okay, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I'll just do it that way from now on.
Yeah.
And then they feel like they're being unfaithful in their own doctrine when they start thinking something other than what their preacher is telling them.
Yeah. Well, like he's absolutely, and coming to an understanding of the word rightly divided is in many ways like getting saved all over again. In that there is that revelation and that whole, it is almost like being born again, and then you're a baby again. Then I got to go back and all of this stuff that I thought I knew, and that's true, very true, very true.
I want to say very. You know, I keep hearing you say that they can't see it, they can't see it. You know, that error is like a darkness itself. You know, once you get away from God's word, or when you get into an error concerning God's word, you can go a long way in that era.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the Lord and bring you from that.
Amen. And it's patience on our part.